Thanks, Nicholas. I'm Stuart Gelfand. I'm a partner at Fried Frank. I've been asked to chair a panel on opportunities from restructuring. And obviously, given the conversations earlier this morning, pretty much every panel got around to restructuring. So hopefully we won't be repetitive, but we'll try to focus on the opportunities both from the company side and also from investors and investors' opportunities. I have with me a very distinguished panel of people, all who have expertise in this area. To my left is Ken Becker, who's a director at AMA Capital Partners, and he specializes in maritime restructurings. Next to him is Socrates Leptos-Borgi, who's a partner at PwC, and he's the head of the global shipping and ports industry leader at PwC. And to my far left is Gunnar Gehrig, who's a partner in E&Y, who specializes in shipping restructuring. So we have a panel of people all who have expertise in the area. In prior years, the past 2 years, I've been leading panels in high-yield debt, and it seemed that that's not the real opportunity this year, but the real opportunity in the market for all players is involved in restructurings. One thing we talked about a little bit when the panel met was that this set of restructuring seems to be different than other kinds of restructurings that have happened in prior years in the shipping industry. Obviously, as a cyclical industry, restructurings happen from time to time, but this seems somewhat different. And maybe, Ken, you want to expound on that?
Sure. Thanks for having me, and thanks for allowing me to participate in this panel. But I think where we've seen, at least from AMA's perspective, of where things have shifted from, say, the late 90s, early 2000s, is specifically the absence of the high-yield debt, the absence of the traditional bondholder and their particular needs and issues that come to the table when you restructure around bond classes. But the unique thing about what we're seeing now, especially in the shipping space, is the advent of the syndicate. So you have one agent bank and multiple banks behind you or behind that agent, and those particular banks tend to have unique sets and sets of circumstances for any particular bank. So you can get in a situation, and we've started to see this now, and it's a little bit early, but where banks might, who are part of the syndicate, might sell their loans. There's a lot of talk throughout the day of, you know, where loans are being priced, and we certainly have experience from private equity funds and hedge funds specifically who are actively bidding these portfolios that come for sale from time to time. And I think that's a unique position where you're seeing some of the Chapter 11s tend to be in vogue right now, but you've seen some of these bondholders come to the forefront in these restructurings, and that can cause a unique set of circumstances. You have, you know, many times these hedge funds are new to shipping. They see assets being bid at 60 cents on the dollar, and they automatically move in, and that creates a lot of problems for particularly ship owners and other banks in the syndicate as you work towards trying to restructure to a common goal.
And maybe, Socrates, in terms of from the company's perspective, this current set of restructurings, how might that differ from when companies might have the same principles we're doing restructurings, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago the last time?
I think I agree that the issue with having syndicates does pose a challenge for the company to make sure that everyone in the syndicate understands the business model and they're at level terms in terms of the information that they have available in order to make an informed decision. Looking at today, given that we've already gone through the downfall in rates in 2008, I think a lot of quick fixes have already taken place when it comes to loans, and that means that perhaps there's not, you know, any move to do additional restructuring at this point will be more difficult also because some measures have already been taken, and so that now it becomes more challenging as to what solution might work.
Right. Yeah, maybe just to add, I completely agree. We are in a double dip situation, and as such, liquidity reserves are somehow exhausted at the corporate side. And moreover, it's a very tough situation for the chip owners if you think of the also of the situation of the banks. As we have learned this morning, we are facing this credit crunch situation. So many banks tend to leave shipping, or at least to reduce shipping. Just if you take the two largest banks, shipping banks in the world, they need to reduce their portfolio significantly, one of them by half. And there are quite a few shipping banks who try to sell their shipping portfolio entirely, but have not found a willing buyer at this time for this price. So that's actually a situation which is very tough. And as we heard this morning, the prospects are different this time. The last time, as Chris just mentioned, with those low rates in 2009, there was at least the prospect that after a period of 2 years, there would be a recovery back to the 10-year average. And nobody doubted that that would happen. But what happened is that we, after a short recovery, which only came to the benefit of, or mainly to the benefit of the ship operators, and not so much of the ship owners, we are facing this double dip situation again. And so a restructuring case, which was done at that time, could be based on the prospect of a recovery after 2 years, and now we already have those 3 years behind us, and as we learn tomorrow, there will be at least another one to come, maybe two, could even be more.
Thanks. I think one thing we've started to move towards the opportunity, we've had a number of people talk earlier today about private equity and private equity money and hedge fund money coming in. But although it's been talked about a lot and there have been a few situations, it really hasn't come in great numbers other than a few situations. And maybe one thing to talk about next, starting with Ken again, is what's going to be the attractive point to get private equity money really in, other than the theory that private equity is around looking to try to bring it in a much more large sense with all the private equity money that's on the sidelines as a way to bring equity capital into the industry?
Well, I think one of the presenters this morning had painted a pretty fair picture, in my opinion, of what private equity is going to look for in investments. And when you look at the shipping space and you see the numbers of owners and the skill sets that they bring, it's very difficult to marry those two. So one of the things I would actually think about is taking a ship owner, taking somebody who understands the industry, and they becoming the private equity. I think that when you have existing ship owners who can look at distressed assets, and they can operate them, and they can run them, and their horizon is right, and their horizon is long enough, they can become the private equity in a lot of respects. We find from time to time, and we've had clients of our own who have met with 35 to 40 different private equity firms, and you can go a long way, and you can bring them up to speed on the company and the opportunity, and they just can't get there. The cash flows aren't there. There's no baseline business. It's a tremendously cyclical industry. And I think we have to, in some ways, reinvent the concept here. And I think one of the keys is to looking at strategic operators and strategic owners as being that person you can transition into and make the investments in these restructuring situations. A lot of the experience we've had, specifically on the offshore oil and gas side, tends to come from strategics. You restructure, you stabilize the situation, and then the strategics come along. They can appreciate the assets, and you can extract the most value out of them.
And so rather than private equity coming in and taking small or minority positions in companies, really looking at almost like separate joint ventures between the operators and the private equity partners, either side by side or potentially subsidiaries and separate investment funds.
That's a fair assessment. I think that you've seen historically some JVs with private equity firms because they need the help with the technical operations. They need the help with just understanding the markets. There's a lot of experience. I mean, in this room right now, there's a tremendous amount of experience that can be brought to bear. And it's very difficult at times to marry the expectations of the private equity firm with what the understanding of the owner has and what they bring to the table. And it's hard to make those economics work.
Okay. Maybe we'll get to economics again in a little while, but I think one of the key things that we always focus on, at least from my side as lawyers, is what's going to make the restructuring work so that, I think they talked earlier about Chapter 11, but it's really, there has to be a plan that makes, for the restructuring to have a basis in the restructuring of some sort and make the plan go. Maybe Socrates, maybe from your side, being on the council, a lot of times you're being brought in to help restructure. If you could spend a little time, talk about how a company prepares for restructuring, gets ready for restructuring, and what the investors, what the banks and others are looking for in a restructured company.
Okay. I mean, just touch something on what Ken was saying before, though, about private equity. I think beyond the point that there is a hurdle to overcome when it comes to private equity understanding the shipping business and finding the returns that they're looking for, I think another reason why we haven't seen enough in that area is that so far restructurings have been fairly easy to say, compared to what I think we're going to have to see in the future, in terms of that the banks were willing to provide better terms to the borrowers, and while now, as we mentioned before, because we're entering into a situation where the quick fixes are gone, there might be a situation where equity needs to come into play or disposing of assets or finding some source of additional funds coming in from the business. So I think that is going to be probably, and at the same time, we are at a point in the industry when values are fairly attractive when it comes to the asset values. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do see some more equity deals happening now with private equity coming in. And possibly some of the banks do have lined up either their own funds for this purpose or they're partnering with private equity funds to do so.
And maybe before we get to that's a good lead-in for before we get to what's a good restructure. But maybe Gunnar, look at from the bank's perspective, we've seen a lot of kick the can, let's keep it alive for a bit of a period of time, as opposed to try to restructure right away and see what happens. Do you see that sentiment still hanging around, or do you agree with Socrates that you're going to see the banks looking to find their own equity investors to come in?
Well, actually, indeed, as you mentioned, there has been a kind of standstill approach over the last three and a half years from the bank side, and apparently that is coming to an end. There are several reasons for that, some being more on the regulatory side, some being more on the practical side. But this is what we see in the market, and that will enforce, in our opinion, many insolvencies on a ship level this year, what we might not have seen in the last years. So that's actually really a change of behavior, and so far banks were not willing to take any significant haircuts, and also that approach seems to come to an end as they simply realize that there is definitely a need for action. And there was just another big bank, the second largest ship financing bank in the world, who declared this at the beginning of the week that they will create a restructuring unit and kind of dispose of a large number of their customers. So that all shows that the behavior is changing, and that opens up for private equity. And that's why we also think that the number of deals will increase. And what is important to understand is I think both the shipping companies or ship owners, but also the private equities have a kind of learning path behind them in the last 3 years. So given the fact that apparently private equity and shipping is not a natural fit, but somehow or to a certain extent that it might be able to overcome that. And so we assume for larger units, which are open for transparency, this will be a viable option, although of course, you need to consider that the main part of shipping is rather small and might not be suitable for private equity. Just if you think of the two main shipping companies in Europe being Greece and Germany, there are several hundreds of ship owners with less than 10 vessels. So it's hard to imagine how any private equity could get in there, other from if any platforms are created where larger units are created, and by that an option for private equity to get in there, maybe in combination with a debt, could come up, but otherwise we don't see any way for private equities there. That just wouldn't fit.
I mean, one thing is, we talk about the opportunity. What about the opportunity, not just for private equity, but for ship consolidation in the market, where better capitalized shipping companies will start making plays for some of these companies in restructuring? Is that something we haven't seen that much of, but is that something you see coming down the road?
Well, I think, to share a funny story, we had dinner with a major ship owner in New York a couple weeks back, and his answer to that was, "Well, I don't pay retail."
And is anyone paying retail now?
And when you think about acquiring other companies, his view was, "I want the assets. I'm not sure I need the management team. I have all those things in place." So, is there going to be a consolidation in the industry? I think that, given the cyclical nature of it, given the private funds, the private individuals here, I suspect you'll continue to see a fairly fragmented market, specifically in the dry bulk sector. When you think about franchise value and what the commodity that's being transported and the number of owners, I think you'd be stressed to see major consolidations on the dry bulk side.
Yeah, well, what about some of which I've heard and talked about, sort of partnerships between some of the stronger owners and the JV and the private equity shops in setting up, either creating funds or subsidiaries of the public companies to run simultaneous, looking at a sort of a opportunity with the private equity with the cash and the stronger operators with the operational expertise. And then if you buy enough of it, you probably don't need the existing management of the companies that they're acquiring. Socrates, do you want to talk to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think while conceptually it sort of might work conceptually, I think it's much harder for it to work in practice. There's a lot of hurdles.
We've had a lot of people talk about it.
I think there's a lot of hurdles to overcome to get to that point. So it would really have to be a compelling argument whereby no other solution has really worked, and that is the way forward, and there's commitment to it, and there's belief in the business from all the parties involved to actually go down that route. I think what you do see more and more is, and like Ken said, it makes much more sense, and you do see that. It's kind of like a restructuring sort of which doesn't get announced in public very often, but you do see situations where the banks basically force the hand of an owner to pass on the vessels to another owner, but we're talking about assets here. So it's never going to be a consolidation, a merger of the two. It's basically shifting the liability somewhere else where maybe the banks feel more comfortable with a new owner. Maybe there's more. And there's always an upside, of course, for the receiving party as well.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of situations, the loan value is greater than the asset value, and therefore the banks may have rights to force transfers.
Well, actually, I agree there have been rarely any cases. However, we are part of talks where that could materialize, so it's on the horizon. But, of course, it's only applicable for a limited number of ship owners where private equity could step in. So it's not for the broad audience there. And so let's wait and see what happens there, but we are rather positive that that will come up. And maybe what we will also see is that private equities will go into corporate structures, as we just heard. Mainly now we have seen deals in going right into the asset base, but of course, private equities would prefer to go into corporate structures, well organized, well managed, as that is the usual business, and that's where they can have influence on management and so on. And so, but after 3 years of crisis, of course, there has been a lot of improvement to systems and to transparency, and I guess a lot of shipping companies have realized that times are changing and that transparency needs to increase, and so that might make them ready for that kind of finance.
So one question we had started on, and then we sort of skipped, was for the opportunity from the company side. What should the companies be doing in order to get ready for the restructuring, make sure it creates value for their existing stakeholders, and make sure they get the right process and not the drag along that we've seen so far? And before I throw that to Socrates, so I'll throw it back to you. But maybe we'd all talk about what's the key to getting a good restructuring done that benefits all parties?
I think it's the main part is indeed about transparency. And just to give you an example, we have done a restructuring on a multi-billion revenue shipping company, which did not have a forecast at all, meaning not even for the very year. So that has definitely changed, and by that, a basis for a financial restructuring has been put in place, which was not existing before. And apart from that, there are, of course, many operational measures like slow steaming and like optimizing routes and creating alliances and so on, which have been done to a certain extent and which has further potential. But I agree with Socrates, the quick wins have been done more or less.
I mean, Ken, maybe you're looking from, you deal with a lot of private equity shops and others. What are they, when someone shows up looking for restructuring, what's going to make it happen?
Well, I think from the owner or the sponsor or the debtor's perspective, I think that they need to be cognizant of the information transfer that's going to need to happen, whether that be a bank or a bank that is had a loan portfolio and now, you know, we've heard stories of bankers that have been changing every week. You call up the bank and there's somebody new handling the situation. I think when you approach this from a creditor's perspective, one of the things that we always like to stress is do your due diligence, do your homework. So from the debtor's side, you're always going to find people continuously asking questions. So to be able to present to them in a very clear and transparent perspective the information that you have available, the situation with the vessels, not to get too much into specifics, but you can be in a situation where you've never had somebody inspect your vessels. And from a creditor, that can put you in a very, very difficult perspective because you may indeed get a ship back that you don't want back. And so from the owner's perspective, having that builds a lot of trust and it builds a strong relationship. And the other key to a restructuring is understand where you're trying to get to. What are you trying to do? We've seen situations where people have filed companies in jurisdictions such as the U.S., and they seem to languish there. Because the question is, what are you trying to restructure to? What are we trying to get to? Are we trying to buy time to see if the market will turn around? Are we trying to restructure the debt, recapitalize the company? That's, I think, the biggest key here is understanding where you're trying to get to. Otherwise, it will just languish along, and that's where you see some of the kicking the can down the road. If that can be done, I think that's until banks are willing to sell portfolios to hedge funds at a value that will clear the market, you're going to continue to see languishing restructurings. And again, that positive dialogue between the two gets you to a place that you can actually understand everyone's perspective and try to meet at the middle, because at the end of the day, a lot of these restructurings come down to not who won, but who contributed their portion to the overall enterprise.
Right. I think one thing you talked about in doing the investors doing their homework, I think one thing that we have found is that it's important for the company to also do the homework and understand the various rights of the various constituencies, because that's often misinterpreted. Some some banks in the portfolio may have greater rights than they expected under the charters, ability to foreclose. Other banks, they may appear senior in the capital structure, may have lesser rights than were expected. And then if you don't have the clear path at the beginning of the process and you don't understand the rights all around, you wind up both with a morass and then you wind up never getting anywhere.
And just to clarify, the understanding that you need to know where you're going, it's helpful, but you certainly need to be flexible because it may not be where you originally thought.
Yeah, I think what I would add to that is, preparation is key, and having the business plan a business plan in place is just not enough. It's stress testing that model, looking at different scenarios. This is where the flexibility that Ken is referring to comes in, and more from a sort of qualitative point of view. It's also understanding the counterparties that you're dealing with and seeing who might have more leverage over other parties and understanding the needs and requirements of the parties, doing that sort of analysis beforehand so you know how to approach each one and what motivates everyone. Each bank these days has different issues with liquidity or their capitalization. Some want to exit, as Gunnar said. Some may want to exit shipping altogether. So it's understanding all these mechanics of the counterparties and really, before actually going out with a proposal to them, having a view as to how you want to lay out your strategy.
Right. I mean, from our perspective, there's no such thing anymore as the one-size-fits-all restructuring. I mean, if someone can talk this, but if you have eight different vessel financing, you have eight different restructurings going on, and I think that leads to a lot of the complications.
Yes, indeed. So it's very likely that in that case there might be a group of banks who was willing to end the story very quickly, and other going on, and then you have of course an impact on the entire fleet if one group is leaving the party and so on. So that makes things actually very, very complicated indeed. Yeah.
To my understanding of the various rights, one group we haven't spent a lot of time talking at the conference about. We've talked a lot about private equity. Ken, you had mentioned hedge funds, which for people who don't know the term, it's actually a quite different economic group. And maybe to explain how hedge funds might look at the opportunity versus private equity funds, because they're quite different.
Sure. And we have seen instances in particular where a hedge fund wound up in a revolver of a shipping company. And it was a big surprise to the owner and the management of the company, and that creates unique situations because the keys that certain hedge funds look for are liquidity events. They look for what they believe are reasonable prices, and if the bonds or bank loans happen to trade on the market, you will find very quickly, especially when a company announces they're in a distressed situation or enough information comes out that they are, that your potential bank group or your original bondholders will change immediately. And you will see that bond trade hands multiple times. It will wind up in places that a lot of times people don't expect, with holders who may not know anything about shipping but just heard a few things. We've had experience in the offshore market where, you know, companies issued bonds, and 4 days after they announced that they can't make the coupon payment, all the bondholders they knew are gone. And they have brand new people who have very strong views on where they think value can be created, and that's part of one of the aspects of a good financial advisor is being able to corral that group into understanding the situation and helping the debtor really explain the current situation of the company and how at least the debtor feels that they're going to try to restructure this and work it through.
And that gets back to being prepared in advance of making any announcement, I think. The one thing with hedge funds is they've a much shorter time frame, much shorter time horizon in terms of their investment and what they're looking for an opportunity. They get a bond at 60 and can sell it the next day at 70. That's their investment, which is very different than private equity. One thing maybe to talk a little bit about also is in terms of just undertaking the restructuring. What's the right way? Who should the company be talking directly to the lenders? Should it be the company's financial advisors, accountants, lawyers? What do you see as the right way to go about in as a process? Because as we've talked a little bit about, if the process isn't worked right from the beginning, it's very hard to get a restructuring done that provides opportunities for anyone.
Well, I guess if you need a specialized financial advisor, certainly depends on the size of the company. But in any case, and what we heard earlier today, it's very important to do this on due time, as that's one of the main hurdles in restructurings, that time is running out and there is no cash left for any actions which could be required, and then the restructuring is really getting a very tough story. So that's very important, and that also adds to the thesis that it makes sense for the distressed company itself to approach the lenders, or let's say at least the main lender or the leading bank, in order to have some in the first step some confidential discussions. What would be the best way going forward? And in larger cases, we have seen that there is some kind of coordinating committee in the banking circle. If we have like 20 or 30 banks, it doesn't make sense to talk with all of them. That would be very painful. So then it just makes sense to talk to a couple of banks who coordinate the restructuring. And in any case, a lead bank would even be better, so that you have a single contact there. But indeed, it's very, very important not to wait too long until your options fade away.
Yeah, I mean, it's always it's generally better to have the company initiate the process than waiting for the banks to initiate the process. So certainly there needs to be some analysis internally before they go ahead with a plan, before they decide who the appropriate advisor to hire is. Certainly there's the legal matters and jurisdictional matters to consider. There is whether you have syndicated lenders or you have individual loan closures for particular vessels. So there's a planning process that needs to take place internally, and then more likely than not, if the company doesn't have the internal resources and analysts available internally who have done the process before, it's certainly much better to go with an advisor and initiate that process.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell anyone not to hire AMA. So I strongly recommend an FA. But to borrow what my colleagues have said, is that when you look at a complex restructuring where you have multiple banks or you have multiple creditors, that requires a lot of detailed analysis and diligence, it is always helpful to have one voice when you speak to the banks, or if you're on the banking side, having one voice speaking to the owners. It makes that separation, allows emotions to stay out of it. It allows people to have dialogue and can be a sounding board, and it does make the process move along faster.
So even getting, from the company's perspective, even if you're paying for it, it's often saves money in the long run to get the banks to hire their own advisor, who can sort of herd the cats together if there's multiple bank groups. One thing you see in other industries, and just curious is what you've seen here in restructurings, is banks and other lenders taking equity as a part payment for their debt. Have you seen? Could you see that in this industry, either replacing debt with convertible bonds or warrants? In any situations, I know that's another thing that gets talked about and doesn't happen a lot.
Well, actually, yes, we've seen that, but in very few cases, actually. So it's really a last option for banks to go that way. And so if there are any other options which could be realized by sale of individual vessels or so.
So the banks aren't looking as potential equity upside opportunity, that kind of opportunity in these situations right now?
Yep.
So we haven't seen a tremendous interest in that. I think that there's a, again, to borrow from what I said earlier, I think there's a point at which the banks will decide that they don't want to be involved in this at anymore, and there's a clearing price in the market for that, and there's a tremendous amount of capital that will buy that loan. And that's when the situation will grow exponentially in terms of complexity and demands that are placed on the debtor.
I guess it's one last question. We'll take some questions since I have two accountants on the panel. Are there any accounting things that companies who are doing restructurings ought to specifically worry about? Obviously, the most important thing is getting the restructuring done.
I think there's more implications for the banks rather than the companies themselves, probably.
Just looking at my panel.
So yes, there are. They're definitely for the banks. Obviously, any restructuring will require some sort of writing down part of the loan. Most probably, depends on the type of the restructuring. They also need to look at whether they've already taken any provisions against that exposure in the past. In terms of the companies, again, there's implications depending on the type of restructuring and what it is. Looking at sort of complex accounting matters such as debt extinguishment or debt refinancing and that sort of thing. So there are, but I think. You know, at the end of the day, accounting shouldn't drive the economic rationale of a good plan. So there will
be... Well, part of it is you want the company to look good when it comes out of the restructuring, and therefore just understanding what the accounting will be. You should make the plan so it works, but understanding what the accounting will be, I think, is important.
Yeah. I think the drivers, obviously, would be the banks, and I think that's why you would get resistance for some types of deals with banks and not with others. Because that will have a direct implication on the carrying amount of the loan on their balance sheets.
Well, I agree with Socrates. It's more on the bank side. And as we know from analysis of shipping loan portfolios, the amount of impairment which has been done at this point of time is considerably low if you compare it to the size of the crisis. And one other issue, but this is at the very beginning of the discussion, is coming up with regard to IFRS 10, which is about setting new rules for the consolidation. And that could actually mean that the definition of control is adjusted in a way that the banks might be forced to consolidate restructured companies where they are normally just in a position as a bank, but then suddenly they have it within their consolidation circle, and that would of course be a major issue, which would not be the desired outcome.
The banks will be selling out of their positions pretty quickly.
So let's see how that develops. But we are at the beginning of that discussion, but that could be a threat to. To many restructurings, as banks would be more passive and not willing to take the role they might need to take, if not others step in to a large extent, like private equities. What needs to be seen?
Well, I think next, given that we want to try to stay within our schedule, and we have a minute and 30 left. If people have any questions, obviously we'll all be around for a while. The most important thing I think we learned is advanced planning, that private if you were looking for private equity money and hedge fund money, it's both different kinds of money, but have a plan and be able to demonstrate them a kind of return that they're going to expect. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, sir? You're the only one?
Thank you.
And that's good because we only have 50 seconds.
It's rather a complex expression of something. It relates to restructuring. But I want to start from what Poulo Vasily said before about ships being recycled at 5 years' time because of mathematics or 10 years' time. And I think that's a very, 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 very scaring statement. If ships which are built for 20 or 25 years and have to preserve their value as an asset and their capability as an operating unit for 25 years are risking to be scrapped at 5, then I wonder how an equity fund or how an investor can ever enter a restructuring discussion if the risks ahead are so high and seem so uncontrollable. So I think it's important that we do whatever we can to avoid situations like that. Put all our skills and capabilities and knowledge and crisis management to avoid this dramatic depreciation of assets, which kills the financing and the banking side and the investor side totally and kills the industry. So having said that, I wanted to ask you, do you think it's enough to enter negotiations about restructuring, just you as the financial leaders and the shipping owners from the other side? Can you create a promise for restructuring unless we open up the circle, unless we reduce the risks, unless we bring the ship operator closer to the cargo, and the cargo which belongs to, is controlled by a charterer, needs to come closer to the cargo receiver and the cargo buyer, and the cargo buyer needs to go closer to the bank cargo seller. I'm just wanting to express this feeling. It's my feeling that the current total collapse, because we are talking about total collapse of the industry and domino effects which are leading people to courts, my feeling is that if we want to really restructure for sustainability, we need to open up the circle of discussions around the table and bring the investor, the owner, the cargo people, the charterer, the sellers, everybody, and put up the issue on the table. If you cannot buy the cargo, if he cannot sell the cargo, the ship cannot transport, then he cannot pay back the loans. So the question is, would you encourage more open communications which are out of the circle of the banker and the financed person? Would you encourage mechanics and processes that will create more sustainability promises into the industry so that your investors can have a hope to haircut or write off before they do it just on accounting terms? I don't know if I managed to express it, but...
Well, I can give you a quick answer from a lawyer's perspective. That's quite complicated because you have the banks who tend to be secured creditors and have security interests in their vessels, and you have the charterers and the other parties who tend to be unsecured creditors and therefore have very different rights and in the situation. Therefore, it becomes a very difficult negotiation to try to get. It's hard enough to get the banks in one situation than it is to get sort of all those parties together. I think your question is a much more global economic question, which may be beyond the scope of this panel.
Well, actually, just to add, I think you're fully right. The scale of the problem has reached an extent that has a requirement to take it to a larger audience, and especially the disconnect between the customers and the suppliers is imminent. And actually, what we, for example, have done in Germany is to initiate that kind of meetings also with the federal government and to bring at the table the banks, the ship owners, the operators, and all kind of stakeholders in that process in order to discuss solutions for the industry. So I think you're fully right. That's it's actually something which needs to take into a higher level.